So you were just listening to Rasha Mumnay of the I'm Somebody With Nobody campaign, part of the Beirut Collective, reflecting on the political situation in Lebanon. That was part one of a much longer interview, but we won't have time to run the rest of the interview because we have so much else lined up. But on the upload, as we mentioned before, you can get that. And if you want to find out where the upload is, visit the following website, cktnews.wordpress.com. And as always, you can check out our archive, ckut.ca. We've been on air since 8 a.m., so anytime between 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on January 1st. We have a lot more coming up. Mustafa and I were trying to explain what was coming up before, and we didn't tell you everything. And I forgot to mention that we have organizers from La Otra Campaña in Montreal who will be coming in to talk about the situation in Mexico, particularly in Oaxaca. There's currently the Intergalactica going on in Chiapas as well. And I had the occasion to talk to two activists who are currently in Mexico, who were at the barricades and saw the repression in Oaxaca. But we make no pretense that we are able to be comprehensive with our year-end review and our look ahead. There's a lot of issues that we weren't able to cover.
I think one of them is a big one that, I mean, we can talk about it. It's Iraq. It's a huge part when you're talking about the Middle East, and what's been happening in Iraq has been, it's been a really important year in terms of the resistance in Iraq and the role it's played in hampering imperialism all over.
I was reading an article about people used to talk about how Iraq would turn into Lebanon, and now people talk about how Lebanon turning into Iraq. So Iraq has now become the reference point for disorder, even for Afghanistan. And I guess there's a sort of a milestone of sorts. Nobody ever talks about the Iraqi deaths, but that's in the hundreds of thousands now. But the milestone of American military deaths has now hit, I believe, 3,000.
And 25,000 casualties.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, now it's marked as more deaths than September 11th. More American soldiers killed now in Iraq than people were killed in September 11th.
But Iraq is, I guess, one issue that stands out. We've tried to cover what we can. We've also tried to go into areas that, you know, might not get as much attention as they should, such as the Philippines, the sand people of Botswana, etc. Anything else you can think of that, you know, is a glaring omission on our part? We're trying to get the Six Nations audio a little bit later. But
I think there's a lot going on in, I mean, Latin America. I mean, Oaxaca and Mexico represents huge portion, but you know, you saw this year 2006 sort of a rise in social movements all across Latin America. Bolivia with the election of Morales, movements in Venezuela, and what's been happening there, and the re-election of Chavez is a huge important turning point. But also I mean, things that are going on in the States we haven't really been able to talk about as well.
New Orleans. Yeah, we've covered pretty well, I think, the immigrant rights, immigrant justice movement. But yeah, New Orleans. And of course, all the grassroots stuff that never ever gets any attention. We struggle hard to give notice to them. We're going to move on now to this hemisphere, Haiti. We have some interviews that were done in the last few days. I was able to interview Jean Saint-Ville, a member of the Haitian diaspora, who lives in Ottawa. I'll be playing that audio a little bit later. But Aaron Lakoff of the CKUT Community News Collective was able to talk to Patrick Elie, a Haiti-based political rights activist and former member of the first government of President Jean-Bertrand Aristide from 91 to 96. Aaron spoke to Patrick Elie from Port-au-Prince in the aftermath of a pre-Christmas assault by UN troops on the neighborhood of Cité Soleil, an impoverished poor neighborhood that has been the constant target of the attacks of the UN. So we'll be going to that interview that Aaron did just a few days ago with Patrick Elie, an activist based in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Joined on the line right now with Patrick Elie. Patrick is a longtime human rights and political activist. He joins us from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Good evening, Patrick.
Good evening, Aaron.
So what we'll be talking about is recent events that have just happened in Port-au-Prince. We have reports, I guess it's gone out quite a bit now, that the UN was engaged in quite a large attack in Cité Soleil in Port-au-Prince on Friday, December the 22nd. Patrick, can you tell me a little bit about what you know of what happened on December 22nd in Cité Soleil?
Yes, I can tell you that what happened was, in our opinion, a catastrophic event was for the UN forces and maybe some element of the descend and attack Cité Soleil with military means and military force. And of course, everybody could have predicted that this would have caused a lot of what is being called now collateral damages, but it means kids, women, people who have nothing to do with nothing at all, being killed by stray bullets. And of course, nobody could have predicted that any kind of military operation in Cité Soleil would have resulted in that kind of collateral damage. It is a very, very bad decision. It is one that was prepared, in a way, by a campaign against the legitimate government, trying to if you want, push it into an all-repressive mood, and the results are terrible, terrible. What is happening is, in our opinion, an attempt at a new coup d'etat, whereas they will not, in fact, you know, kidnap the president, but they will impose on the elected regime an agenda that's the exact opposite of what the people took to the street and took to the polls to impose. And we are hoping that the government will change course and stand with the people rather than bow to the pressure of the traditional elite and the chanceries. You know, it's the same, it's the U.S., it's the French embassy and the Canadians, not the Canadians, I should say the Canadian government, trying to domesticate the new regime. And if that happens, Haiti will suffer more. Because, you see, whenever you have this will to impose on the people and the will to resist, the result is more violence. And we don't need more of that, really.
Mm-hmm. Some reports have compared this most recent massacre to the one that was carried out by MINUSTAH, a very well-known massacre on July the 6th, 2005. Of course, back then, the justification on MINUSTAH's part was that they were going in to take out a gang leader at the time, Dread Wilmay. Can you talk a bit about what the MINUSTAH justification was for this raid and whether the context has changed?
I must tell you that there has been a new wave of insecurity in Haiti late. Kidnapping targeting precisely school children. And the minute we saw that, we understood that it was a wave of purely political kidnapping to set the mood for an all-out repression. And it's interesting that you mentioned Dred Wilmé. Since his assassination, instead of things becoming more peaceful, they've gotten worse. And I think this new wave of repression is only going to make things worse. The population in Cité Soleil is completely, you know, adamant because they've seen what has happened. You know, people getting killed miles away from the actual theater of operation because the minister is using millimeter cannons, 50 caliber machine guns. And if anybody knows Cité Soleil, which is a shanty town, it is not the type of this kind of weapons. And people are really, really very, very, very fed up with what has happened.
For a long time now, or certainly since the United Nations has been in Haiti, but more specifically in Cité Soleil, the residents of Cité Soleil have been demanding that MINUSTA get out. And as far as I understand, the MINUSTA mandate will be up again for review in a couple months. Do you see MINUSTA's presence continuing in Haiti for a long time, or do you see the Haitian government and Préval kind of giving in to the will of the residents of Cité Soleil and asking for the UN to leave?
To be frank, I do not see the present government asking for the minister to leave. And of course, you know, if you want to ask for the minister to leave, then you have to take the necessary step to secure the country. And that means, really, to give the Haitian people the means to secure themselves. We have to have in this country a security force that will not be against the people, that will be formed from the people themselves. And that's the only way we will secure this country, you see. The minister, unfortunately, has proven, and recently with that attack on Cité Soleil, that it is no friend of the Haitian people. And we definitely have to get rid of them. And, but, of course, we also have to our own security in our hands. And we hope the present government, which certainly has the legitimacy, will be bold enough to do that.
Do you see any kind of resolution to these UN attacks that are taking place in terms of the security situation in Haiti? What needs to happen for them to stop?
I think that come early January, if the present government does not very, very resolutely state that it ends with the people that elected them and change the course of the policies it's been waging, I think we're in for a very rough 2007. I'm certainly hoping that this is not what will happen, but if the government does not respond to the people's resolution with a resolution of its own, I think we're in for a very rough time.
And just one last question. As 2006 comes to a close, of course, most importantly with the elections and with the inauguration of René Préval this year, what do you see happening in terms of the current context with the main popular demands of the Haitian people in terms of Aristide coming back to Haiti, in terms of the release of all the political prisoners, in terms of retributions for the crimes committed under the La Tortue government? Where do you see those popular demands going?
I think if these popular demands are not addressed, we're some very rough water. You know, the de facto government has really set a trap for this government in many ways. For example, in firing thousands of people in a country where, as you know, the level of unemployment is very high. But they have also hired a lot of people who have not paid, and that the new legitimate government is now stuck with. It's a time to be bold, as the Haitian people were bold in last February, you know, when everybody said that, you know, nothing could be done, and the Haitian people mobilized and snatched victory away from the enemies of democracy. Now it's time for the government to be bold, and they will have to do some serious change of policy in the beginning of the year that comes. Otherwise, we're heading for serious trouble.
I've been on the phone with Patrick Ailey, joining us from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Thank you very much for speaking with us tonight, Patrick.
Hang in there and have a better 2007. Kembila.